We're just a few days before Rosh Hashanah, if you haven't figured it out yet.
Ask the women.
And the concept of preparation towards the Rosh Hashanah was really the theme of everything we talk about for the month of Elul. Of course, there's also preparation for Yom Kippur, but the preparation for Yom Kippur gets upgraded after Rosh Hashanah, Aseret Metshuvah. Yet, making the point that Rosh Hashanah season, Yom Noraim season, begins from Rosh Chodesh Elul, whether it's the Sfaradim who began saying Slichot every day, or Ashkenazim who include the David Hashem Ori B'Yishi every morning and evening, Tilim Perek of Zayin, blow Shofar in the morning, there's a sensation that Yomim Noraim around the corner. The truth is that the minhag to begin greeting each other, Ktivah v'Chatimah Tovah, or any variation of, from Rosh Chodesh Elul, has a variation. I mentioned to him once in one of the shiurim, the great Rebbe from Galicia of the 19th century. He was known as Tzvi Elimelech from Dinner. Dinner is a town not far south of the town of Zhezhov, which is Raisha. And he was a great grandson of the Rebbe Elimelech from Lizhansk, the one who brought Hasidut over to Poland for the first generation of Hasidut in Poland. So Tzvi Elimelech, the Elimelech comes from his great-grandfather. He was known by his sefer, B'nei Yisoscha. That's how it's called, B'nei Yisoscha. B'nei Yisoscha says that we are to wish each other Ktivah V'Chtimah Tovah 2 weeks before Rosh Chodesh Elul, already from Tu Be'av, Chamishah Asar Be'av. And this most probably has some roots in source number 5 on the page. We'll jump back to source number 1 in a minute. You're not getting, gypped. There's a... Source number 5 on the page. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's the last Mishnah of Masechet Ta'anit. Lo ayu yamim tovim liYisrael kachamisha asar be'av ukiyom ha-kippurim. That the two greatest days of joy, of Simcha, in the calendar, were Tu Be'av and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, Bishlom Yom Kippurim, with regard to Yom Kippur, that's perfectly understandable. Mishum de'it be'is licham chila. Number one, it's a day of atonement and forgiveness. So obviously it's a day of Simcha, of great joy. Yom shenitnu bo luchot achonot. It's the day that Moshe Rabbeinu received the second set of the Aseret HaDibrot, which indicated that there was slicha umchila for the chait of the golden calf, of the Egel HaZahav. So that's a great day. That does not require deep, penetrating investigation. But elat chamishaza ba'av, maihi. What exactly is Tu Be'av? That's what the Gemara asks. And the reason why I don't provide the answer on this page, because it would take a page and a half of Xeroxing. The Gemara suggests 6 different reasons for why Tu Be'av is a Yom Tov. And we do not have any contradictions. They're all correct. Things happened in different time frameworks on Tu Be'av. The only thing we don't know is what was the real, authentic reason that it becomes a quasi-Yom Tov in the calendar. And why did it become a Yom Shiduchim? As the Mishnah says, Benot Yisrael, Hayu Yotzim, Yotzot, Levush Levan, and so on, She'ulim, they borrowed clothing, and there was a breakdown of economic barriers, social economic barriers, and all the girls looked alike, and they talked about the Yichus, and so on. Well, why did that come about? I say again, the Gemara brings 6 different reasons. Now I remember the Rav Zecharon Lebracha telling us once, in the context of a section of Tosfot asks a question, in the very, very characteristic expression of Tosfot, the Im Tomar. It's a very beautiful way of saying it. Perhaps you would say, but that's introducing a crackerjack question in Tosfot. When you say the Im Tomar in Tosfot, you know there's a strong question coming up. But then there's a strong resolution, or an acceptable resolution, the Yesh Lomar, and it's possible to say, it's a very humble way of asking the question and answering the question, but these are strong questions and strong answers, the Yesh Lomar. And sometimes Tosa goes on and says, Ve'od le'yesh lomar, and you can also say, gives a second reason. And occasionally, Tosa will give even a third reason. Ve'od yesh lomar, give another reason. So Rav said, when Tosa starts giving too many reasons, you know that there's a problem with all the reasons. There's a problem with all of them. And what Tosa was trying to do was sell us an answer based on cumulative effect. All right, here's a weak answer, but here's a weak answer, and here's a weak answer. Put all those weak answers together, you can close the Gemara and go eat lunch. You know, you're finished, you're through with Tosfot. Which means that the kasha is still a kasha. The question is still a question. There's something not wholesome with the tirutz, with the answer. And that's why Tosfot suggests maybe something else, maybe something else. And that's true not only for a Tosfot, it's true for the Gemara also. When the Gemara asks a question, okay, so what happened on Tu B'Av? And then the Gemara goes on to give you six different reasons. It means one thing. They didn't have a clue what the reason was. Or certainly they didn't have a clue what the official, real, authentic reason. When did it start? And what the Gemara is trying to do is give us some type of a cumulative effect. All right, so this happened, and that happened, and this happened, that happened. Well, can't you see that it's an important day, you know, and so on? That's basically what the Gemara is saying. So we have different possibilities of what may have generated Tu B'Av as a Yom Simcha. But one thing is clear, and that is the calendar limits of Tu B'Av to Yom Kippur are clearly set in this Mishnah, which most probably triggered the author of the Bnei Yisoscha to suggest that the Yom Neroyim season is defined by these calendar limits, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur, we know what Yom Kippur is, but everybody agrees it's the end of the season of Yom Neroyim. Now, the Kabbalists did a job and stretched a little bit to Hoshana Rabbah, but that's a non-halachic entity, non-halachic. It's strictly within the realm of Kabbalah, of mystical teachings, but from the point of view of halacha, the Yom Neroyim come to a decisive end at the end of Yom Kippur. And why would it begin on Tu B'Av? Why would it begin on Rosh Chodesh Elul? We have good idea that we brought the Medrash quoted in the tour a few weeks ago. We quoted it that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai for the third set of 40 days. So there's some significance to Rosh Chodesh Elul with regard to leading into the Yom Kippur experience. That's an agreed upon across the board. But where does Tu B'Av come in? 2 weeks before. So the only thing that really comes to mind is the seven haftarot between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So let's take a look now on source number one. And this is the title of the shiur, Yemei Nechama, the Days of Consolation, Ke Hachana L'Yom Adin, in preparation of Day of Judgment. This is a Tosfot in Masechet Megillah, and it says, if Rosh Chodesh Av comes out on Shabbat, it can happen. Rosh Chodesh Av Shchaliot B'Shabbat.
This year
Rosh Chodesh Av didn't come out on Shabbat. I'm sorry. Rosh Chodesh Elul came out on Shabbat. This year Rosh Chodesh Elul came out on Shabbat. If Rosh Chodesh Av comes out on Shabbat, then you can check me on this in the Guinness Book of Records. It's the longest Kriyat HaTorah possible, because it's Matot, Maseh, and Rosh Chodesh. That's 261 Psukim. That's a long one. So, Tosfot brings a view which is not our view. Maftirin, the haftarah would be, Chodshechem u'moadechem san'a nafshi. Now that's from Yeshayahu, and it talks about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in your upgraded religiosity if your social behavior is lacking. And what's the chidush? Rosh Chodesh on Shabbat, we always read from Yeshayahu Perek Samach Vav, Koma Hashem Hashemayim Kisei Vaaretz Adom Raglai Eze Bayit Asher Tivnu Li Veze Makom Menuchati, because at the tail end of that haftarah it says Vaya Midei Chodesh Bechodesho Midei Shabbat Beshabbato Yavo Kol Basar Lishtachavot. You have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh fused together in one pasuk. What can be a better choice for haftarah? But the figuring is in the three we call the 3 weeks. Shabbat of Rosh Chodesh Av is the second of the 3 weeks. Inappropriate to read Yeshayahu Samach Vav, even though it's Rosh Chodesh, and we would read a perek that would talk about Puranut. Tosfos says, Ein anu osim kein. We don't do this. That's not our choice. But Tosfos agrees that we also don't read the Rosh Chodesh Haftarah. Ela, Maftir b'Yirmiyahu Shimu Devar Hashem. We read the second Haftarah of the 3 weeks, which is Yirmiyahu Perek Bet, as being a more appropriate Haftarah for the 3 weeks, even though it's Rosh Chodesh. Ubishabbat Shalifnei Tisha B'Av, the Shabbos before Tet B'Av, Chazon Yeshayahu, which we call Shabbat Chazon. The time and the reason is Psikta is a nickname of one of the anthologies of Medrash, Lomar, to say, Shalosh depu anuta, three haftarot of affliction, of punishment, of accusation, kodem tisha b'av. We have three special haftarot between Shavuot, Tishah B'av, Tammuz, and Tisha B'av that do not reflect the spirit of the Parshat HaShavua as normally a haftarah would do, but they here that reflect the season, the spirit of the season, and the season is towards Tisha B'av, Puranut, Ve'eloen, and here they are, Divrei Yirmiyahu, which is Yirmiyahu Perek Aleph. That's the haftarah for the first Shabbos after Shavuot, Tishah B'av, Tammuz. Shemud Dvar Hashem is the second chapter of Yirmiyahu, and Chazon Yeshayahu is the third chapter. It's the third haftarah. It's the first chapter of Yeshayahu, but it's the third haftarah. And then after Tisha B'av, Ubatar Tisha B'av, Sheva Dinechemta, seven haftarot of consolation of Nechama, and then two haftarot of Tiyufta. Tiyufta in Aramaic is translated as Tshuva, because it's also used in the context of the Gemara, response, to give a response, to give an answer. So in modern Hebrew, you also use that. You could say, v'eshiv, tshuva, v'eshiv tshuva. It means to give a response. We're familiar with that. I remember, and of course, there's also a more halachic word for a response. It's called a terutz, or in Yiddish, a terutz. You know, yeah, or sometimes in Yiddish, when you say a terutz, you mean an excuse. That's what you mean. But tirutz means an answer. Tirutz means an answer. But in Yiddish, when you say you're given a teretz, it means you gave an excuse. But you gave an answer, that's all. But tshuva is a response, is an answer. I remember when the years I was serving in the Israeli Air Force, unfortunately not as a fighter pilot, but as a Magid Shir. That's all they can think I can do there. And and just wave at the planes as a... That's all, but that was, you know, second best, all right.
Get a ride,
I took a hitch. Go my way, right, took a hitch. I actually once got a ride to Chil Avir to give a shear in the south on a C-130 Hercules transport. So, okay. So I remember that year, the Rav Rashi of Tzahal, Rav Gad Navon, Zichron Lebrocha, gave us, all the lecturers of the chaplaincy, gave us orders. It was in the year that Shulamit Aloni, remember her? She was officially the Sarat HaChinuch. We used to call her the Sa'arat HaChinuch. She was in that year. So she was like nitpicking and was looking for places where religious people were doing what she called propaganda, and of course saw the army as a focal point of where so much religious propaganda was going on. So we had this thing called Masa Tshuva in the Rabbanut. We would pan out to various bases and give sichot to chayalim, not just to the religious chayalim, but also, and very importantly so, to the non-religious chayalim, sichot. And obviously the people who gave the sichot were handpicked, people who understood the style and the language and the content of how to give over to not non-religious chayalim. But this was done very effectively. But nevertheless, Shulamit Aloni said that, you know, you can't use the army as a vehicle, you know, lachzir b'tshuva. You can't do that. So the order, this was a military order, it came down from the general in the army, the chief chaplain of the army, not to use the word tshuva in the sichot that we're going to use for Yom Kippur in the army. Now that's pretty good. It means you have to filter out the word tshuva. So I got up, and I told the fellas, I said, look, I have an order from the Aluf Harav Gad Navon that we're not allowed to use the word tshuva. Therefore, if anybody has a question, the Mishyesh lo Sheila, who you kabel terutz, he won't get a tshuva because I'm not allowed to give tshuvot. He'll get terutzim. That's what he'll get. That was pretty silly on the part of Shlomo Taloni, but all right, not the first, not the last. So Tiyufta means tshuva, two haftarot of tshuva, and then Tosu gives us the listing. Ve'elohim, nachamu, nachamu, that's the first. Second is Vatomet Zion, that's the second. Aniyah Sohra is the third. This is all Yeshayahu. Aniyah Sohra, Livada, alone. What he's saying is that it happens to be Yeshayahu Perek Nun Dalet, and we split Yeshayahu Nun Dalet into two halves. So one half is the third haftarah. Fourth haftarah is later on in Yeshayahu, Anochi, Anochi, Hu Menachemchem. And then the next one is Roni Akara, Lo Yalada, is again Nun Dalet. Something's out of sync here. We have Perek Mem, and then the next Perek, and then we jump to Perek Nun Dalet, and then we jump to Perek Samach, and then we jump back to Nun Dalet. It's very strange. And not only do we jump back to Nun Dalet, but when we jump back to Nun Dalet, it's the first part of Nun Dalet. What we've read already on Parshat Re'eh earlier on was the second part of the Haftarah. And so on. But Roni Akara Lo Yalada is the first part of Nun Dalet, which begs for explanation. And then there's Kumi Ori, which is Perek Samach, we read Le Shabbat. Sos Asis is Nitzavim that we're going to read this coming Shabbat. And then there's Tosos says, Dirshu, Dirshu Hashem B'Matzo. Now we read that for Tzom Gedalia. That's the Haftarah for Mincha for Tzom Gedalia. And then there's Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Lokecha, which is the Haftarah, we call it Shabbat Shuva, and so on.
Teretz.
Right, that's the Teretz, yeah. So Tosos says, U'magdimim Aniyasora Kodem Roni Akara. Tosos is keenly aware of the fact that the Haftarah of that the double two Haftarot, the two sections that come from one chapter, Yeshayahu 54, Nun Dalet, we read the latter part before the later part. Parshat Re'eh comes before Parshat Ki Teitze, and Parshat Re'eh we read the second part of Nun Dalet, and Parshat Ki Teitze we read the first part of Nun Dalet. And Tosafot doesn't really give us a good answer; he gives us a cryptic answer. The derech hanechamot liyot holchot umeshubachot yoter. The style of consolation is to constantly improve with time. What does that mean? I mean, wine ages with time. But why do words of consolation age with time, become a more improved product with time? As if to say, the first half of Yeshayahu Nun Dalet is a better product of words of consolation than the second half. So therefore, we will say the second half earlier in the game and the first half later in the game, because it's Mishubach Yoter. So the question is, why don't we read it the next week? Well, why don't we just read Re'ei, the second part, and the next Shabbat, Shoftim, the first part? No, we have Shoftim, which is Anochi Anochi Yimenachem Chem, and then you have other Haftarot here. You have Kumi Ori, and then you have first, after Anochi Anochi Yimenachem Chem, then you have Roni Akara Lo Yalada. You jump to 60th chapter, and then you jump back to the beginning of the 54th. Why? This is a question that disturbed the Rav in one of his shiurim. If you take a look at source number two, I'm not going to keep you hanging, dangling in the air for long. I'll get back to this. In source number two, which is the Rambam's epilogue to Sefer Ahava, where he deals with Kriyat Shema, Tefillah, and related mitzvot, so he gives us a schedule of Kriyat HaTorah, and he writes, Kol Shabbat Shekorim Ba Shtei Parshiyot, every Shabbat that you have two different readings, Maftirin Ba Me'inyan Parsha Achrona. The Haftarah is from the theme of the second Sefer Torah. This is known to all of us. Shabbos Chanukah, you take out the second Sefer Torah, so the Haftarah is going to be a Nerot Chanukah, Nerot Zechariah theme. Shabbat Rosh Chodesh is also from the Haftarah of Shabbat, which we read of Yom HaShabbat and of Rosh Chodeshim, and so on. Every Yom Tov, for that matter, well, every Yom Tov, the whole laning is Yom Tov, but clearly the Maftir is the Yom Tov, and so on. Parshat Shkalim, Parshat Zachor, all the Arba Parshiot, second Sefer Torah, the Haftarah reflects the theme of the Maftir of the second Sefer. V'zeo aminag b'rov ha'makomot, the Rambam doesn't want to get caught by some way out community who do things differently. So he just says, most people do it this way. V'chein na'agu rov ha'am liyot maftirim b'nechamot Yeshayahu me'achar tisha ba'av ad Rosh Hashanah. The custom is, to in most communities, that we read Haftarot from Sefer Yeshayahu of consolation from after Tisha B'Av until Rosh Hashanah. V'shabbat sha'achar tisha ba'av nachmu nachmu ami. That's Shabbos nachmu. Bashniya, the second Shabbat, v'tom etzion azevani Hashem. Third Shabbat, v'shlishit, aniya so'ara. Fourth Shabbat, anochi anochi yimenachem chem. Fifth Shabbat, interestingly, the Rambam flips five and six. Our schedule is the fifth Shabbat, is Roni Akara Lo Yalada, and the next Shabbat is Kumi Ori. Rambam has 5th and 6th the opposite way. He has Kumi Ori the 5th, and Bashishit going back to the first half of Nundalid, Roni Akara. Bashvi'it, Sos Asis Bashem, Tagel Nashi Belokai, Kil Bishani Bigdeyesha, and so on. This is how the Rambam ends, actually, the second book of his Mishnah Torah. Now, just to say something parenthetically, because it's mamash ashir in itself, the Rambam writes 14 books, and each book has its topic. Within the topic, there are subtopics, as you know. But the Rambam never expected people to view it as 14 independent books. It's really one book, with 14, you know, volumes to it, if you may. But the Rambam was so keen to weave a connecting thread between the end of each book and the beginning of the next book. I mean, he was a literary genius. Mamash, a literary genius, how he did this. And the very last words of the second book of the Rambam is the mentioning of these haftarot, even though it's an epilogue to his halachot, but no, nevertheless, the epilogues are part of the book. And his last phrase is Sason v'simcha. Sos asis Pashem, the haftarah of Pashat Nitzavim. What's the next book in the Mishnah Torah? It's Zmanim, which is Dinei Shabbat and Yom Tov. The Rambam always begins every book with either a pasuk from Tilim or from Mishlei, which serves him as a thematic headline of sorts. He gives the book a name, and then he gives it a pasuk, which the pasuk thematically spells out what this book is all about. So in source number 5, the very next source, the Rambam calls it Seder Zmanim, Sefer Zmanim, the book... Three, Mitzvot, Seder Alachot, the Rambam, Sefer Zmanim, it's Zmanim because it's Zmanim L'Sason. And B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam is when we write Besad, right? B'Siat Shmaya, or B'Zvat Hashem. Rambam starts every book with B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. He didn't make that one up. It's the end of Parshat Vayera, Vayiven Sham Mizbeach, Vayikra B'Shem Hashem El Olam. Avram Avinu. And this is one of my proofs, that's a shir in itself as well, that the Rambam saw himself in the footsteps of several giants. The first one was Avram Avinu. Second one, by the way, was Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. I can prove it. Mishnah Torah, and so on. There are a lot of connections. The Rambam saw himself in the footsteps of several giants. The first one was clearly Avram Avinu. The Rambam saw himself continuing the mission and work of Avram Avinu. And he alludes to it various times in the Mishnah Torah and other writings, but the usage of B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam introducing every book clearly puts him on the page of Vayiven Sham Mizbeach B'Shem Hashem Kel Olam. He is continuing in the work of Avraham Avinu. And he brings here a pasuk from Tilim Kuf Yutet. Kuf Yutet we're very familiar with because that's the long perek of 8 times Aleph and 8 times Bet that we use for Shemot Neshama at Yortzeit, at Askarot. And being that we read the name, and then we do Nun Shin Mem He, which is Neshama, so the Nuns feature at everybody's Askara. And one of these psukim is this one right here. Nachalti Edvotecha Le'olam Ki Sason Libi Hema. So his first words in the next book is also Sason. And he ended the previous book with Sos Tasis, the pasuk from Yeshayahu, where Samach Aleph, where he concludes Sefer Ahava. And this was pointed out, this particular revelation is not my own. I saw it in the book of the Sefer of Rav Nachum Rabinowitz in his Perush on the Rambam, Yad Pshuta. So he made this connection. But I am to have insights to most probably all the others. But I saw his, and I didn't even bother thinking about what mine can be, because I just liked what he said and I adopted it. But I give it to full credit, Rav Nachum Rabinowitz. But you see here this connection. So what do we have here? We have going back to that line in source number 1 underlined, the derech hanechamot liot holchot umishibchot yoter, the style of consolation, words of consolation, is to improve with time. So here the Rav had a phenomenal insight. And he goes on to prove how important the sequential order from Nachamu until Sos Asis, from Parshat Vetchanan until Parshat Nitzavim, is. Because as is this year, Rosh Chodesh Elul came out on Shabbat. So there was a big machloket amongst the poskim whether to defer the regular Sheva Nechama and read the special Haftarah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, or do not read the Shabbat Rosh Chodesh and maintain the schedule of the seven Nechamot. Most shuls read the Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, but what we did was that 3 weeks later, Parshat Ki Teitzeh, we made it up. We read Nun Dalet from the beginning to the end. So we had all the readings. The only problem is we upset the order. By doing that, we literally upset the order. And while the Rav didn't put his foot down as to what we should really be doing, he was keenly aware that it's a machloket in the days of the Rishonim, knowing that various communities do it this way and that way. He did not put his foot down, but he did let us believe that he most probably would have favored the view not to say the Shabbat Rosh Chodesh, but to maintain the order, the specific order of the seven Nechamot. And the truth is, the Sfarim have a little bit different... I honestly not sure, okay? Chazal say, Lemad l'shoncha lomar eini yedea. So I'm not going to fudge it. I don't know 100%, but I... What? Yeah, the Rabbi Yosef Karo.
Yeah, just that.
Okay. But even amongst Ashkenazi shuls, there's a somewhat of a difference of opinion because it's already found that the dispute is already found in the Tosfot. The Rav said as follows, that consolation, now there are many, many laws about Evel that cross over between private Avilut and national Avilut on Churban HaBayit. Sometimes, and it's a two-way street, by the way, sometimes we practice things on a private level that we know are practiced on Tisha B'Av or the week before Tisha B'Av, and sometimes the other way around. We do or don't do things before Tisha B'Av or on Tisha B'Av because the private Avel also doesn't do it. And then those areas where there are differences, they require explanations. So the Rav spent a lot of time in the context of dealing with Evel to try to make some sense out of which are the common halachot and which are the different halachot. But one thing that was common, the Rav said, was that you do not fulfill your obligation of nichum avelim, right? You make a shiva visit, as we call it, until the person involved accepts the nechama. So that accepts the words of compliment. Accepts. Mekabel. What does that mean? Because sometimes people say things and they don't register to the avelim. They're really not words of... They are not words of comfort. Sometimes they're actually words of agitation. And here's where Chazal's keen words of Siag l'chokhma shtika, sometimes silence is golden and the wisest thing to go. Silence at a shiva house is not inappropriate. Quite the contrary. It's most probably the most appropriate. But there are two types of shivas, as we all know. There's the shiva of the person who lived till 80, 90, 100, pass away. So, okay, as they say, a tata's a tata, a mama's a mama, the person's a shiva, and so on. But I remember both at my father-in-law and my father, Aleihem HaShalom, which was in a two-month span just last year, at both of them I said, sad but not tragic. Because that's really what it was. It was sad but not tragic. But lo aleinu, we've all gone to shivas where there were terrible, terrible tragedies. I mean, of piguim and children and accidents and chayalim, and don't ask, aleinu. I mean, we've been to these shivas, and it's a different shiva. Sad is an understatement. You're not going to say it's sad, you know. Tragic sometimes to the 100th power, tragic. So what are you saying? So those shivas, you have to be very, very careful. In the first type of shiva, it's usually a little bit lighter. The people sitting shiva themselves are not broken down crying. And they're taking out photo albums, they're going through a person's life and kibitzing about this and that. It's okay. That's all. It's okay. That doesn't mean, you know, people are callous to the loss. Laugh. You know, people cry when they cry, and so on. But that doesn't mean that they have to be 7 days, you know, all crying. Not true. Doesn't have to be. But The worst thing to do in a tragic circumstance is try to explain to the Avelim why it happened. Don't ever, ever, ever do that. No matter what theological nonsense you can use, don't say it. Don't say it. Because if you're not a Navi, you don't have a clue. And the second point is, it doesn't console. In most cases, it does not console. And even if the people nod and so on, they're being polite. They're being polite, that's all. Because I've never heard somebody tell somebody, that's idiocy. But some people, after they go out, they have mentioned, that was idiocy. I mean, to say that almost probably the neshama of this 8-year-old who was hit in the, you know, and killed in the, by crossing the street or fell off the bike, most probably it was a neshama, it was a Gilgul neshama of some other, and it was incarnated, and it was missing just one mitzvah of Kibbur Av Va'Em, and the mother told him to take out the garbage, and he took out the garbage, and then he was hit by a car, so he was fulfilled his last mitzvah of Kibbur Av Va'Em. People have said this at shivas, and you can't do that. You can't do that, Baksha.
When the Rav Chedetor was sitting shiva for his wife, so there was a rav. I happened to be nearby, and
okay.
I came over and asked him in Yiddish, how old was she? So the rav said, We don't ask questions like that.
Okay. Never didn't want to reveal the age. I mean, Mela, women don't like to say their age even when they're alive. I didn't know that it was that she was sensitive to it even after she died.
Maybe it was well.
Okay.
Anyhow,
right. Ki'ilu, as if, you know, okay, what do you want? You live till. Okay. Beseda. Whatever it is, it is. But the Rav explained that the divrei nechama have to be appropriate. And not only appropriate, but it has to be acceptable, palatable to the Avelim. They have to accept it. They have to be able to swallow it and absorb it as sincere words of Nechama. From where do we learn that from? From where do we learn that? So Rav said from the 7 Haftaros. From the 7 Haftaros. So why the 7 Haftarot of Nechama? What's wrong with one Haftar of Nechama? So every time there's multiple messages, like Avraham Avinu in Parshat Lech Lecha is being promised Eretz Yisrael 4 times in Parshat Lech Lecha. So one second, he didn't get the message the first time around. He didn't believe it the first time around. Obviously the response is that it's a complex message. And each time another facet of the promise was given to Avraham Avinu. And that has to be analyzed. So if there are 7 messages of Nechama, obviously one is not enough. So Rav said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Yeshayahu Navi to bring the message of Nechama. Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Then comes the second Haftarah, where Yeshayahu goes back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, V'tom etzion azavani Hashem. I have no takers. No one was interested in listening to the words, Nachamu, Nachamu Ami, Yomar Elokechem. There were no takers. So I was talking to the walls. And that's not good enough. Because if they didn't receive and accept, if Am Yisrael did not accept the message of Nechama, then Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't fulfill his obligation of being Menachem. It says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yomar Elokichem. Kadosh Baruch Hu is sending words of Nechama through a courier. And Am Yisrael is not interested in a Shaliach Mitzvah, in a courier here. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, that it hit a dead end. V'tom etzion azavani Hashem. So the Am Yisrael was not interested. And Yeshayahu goes back, and the third Haftarah is, Aniyas Sohara lo nuchama. The third Haftarah is Yeshayahu reporting back to Kadosh Baruch Hu, didn't work. They did not accept the message of Nechama. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, it cannot be done by a shaliach, by a courier. Anochi, Anochi, Hi Menachemchem. The fourth Haftarah is that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Bechvodo Batzmo, is going to come to Am Yisrael and bring the Nechama, the message of Nechama. Anochi, Anochi, I will come. And the three the messages come in 3 parts. And those 3 parts are Rani Akara Lo Yalada, which is the focus of the Haftarah, the line, the most important line is Berega Katon Azavtich. Now, what does rega mean? Rega means a moment. But rega is also the first word you ever learned in the Ulpan when you came in as an aliyah. Because that word became very important when the Eged bus slammed its door at you, when you were running and running to make the bus, and you screamed, Rega! Right? And the driver drove off. Then use the second word that you learned in Olpat that we won't use here. But Rega is a moment. Shnia, as they say, a second. But you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rega can also be 2,000 years. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above time. The word Rega in this context means temporary. Berega katon azavtich. Not just Rega, it's Rega katon. It's a fraction of a Rega. A fraction of a Rega. That's all. It's temporary. Berega katon azavtich. But Rachamim gidolim akapzech. I'm going to gather you up and it's going to be a great gathering. Great gathering. This is a message of Nechama. And then comes the Tavha of Kumi Ori. Ani Hashem bi'ita achishana. No matter what, the Gula is going to come. As I'll say, either in a scheduled time or accelerated, but it's going to happen. And then comes, that was the third, 1 second. I just jumped one. Right, Roni Akara is the fifth, and Kumi Ori is the sixth. That's correct. So you have four, five, and six. Anochi Anochi, Roni Akara, and Kumi Ori. Those are the three haftarot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'vodo B'atzmo, brings as message of Nechama. So what is the seventh? What is Parshat Nitzavim that we're going to read this coming Shabbat? Sos Asis Bashem. It's the acceptance. Finally, after three tries, it didn't work with a shaliach, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes once, and he comes a second time, he comes a third time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is struggling that Am Yisrael should accept the words of Nechama. It takes three attempts by God for it to happen, but it happens. And only after it happens can Am Yisrael be besimcha. What does it mean, besimcha? What does that mean? Besimcha. What does it mean? You know, in the Tochacha we read last Shabbat, Zetachat Asher Lo Avadta Hashem Besimcha Uvetuv Levav. Yeah, you may have served God, but you didn't do it Besimcha. Well, you aren't a Bratzlava. I mean, what does it mean that you didn't serve God Besimcha? What does it mean? So, the emotion Simcha, as opposed to Etzev, which is sadness, is not in the Halacha. They are not characteristics of personality types, of emotions. They are emotions, for sure, but it's not pure emotions. But they actually reflect something. Simcha means the ability to rendezvous with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means. A rendezvous, a meeting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an act of simcha. And when Am Yisrael is denied that possibility, that's avelut. That's mourning. That's sadness. And what the Torah says in Parshat Kitavo, with all the tragedies that will happen to Am Yisrael, to add insult to injury, your avodat Hashem was never besimcha. Which means, because you were distanced from Eretz Yisrael, from Beit HaMikdash, from the concept of Gilui Shekhinah, revelation, no nevuah, and so on, your avodat Hashem was missing simcha. And therefore, it was not pure avodat Hashem. Ivdu et Hashem b'simcha, it says in Tehillim. That's part and parcel of how we serve God. And how do we serve God? Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid. To realize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in front of us. To serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu without Shiviti Hashem l'negdi tamid is to be a robot, is to be a programmed computer of a person getting up on time and even a half hour earlier for slichot and saying the slichot, putting on talis tefillin and davening and going through the motions of every single mitzvah and being careful, makpid, kalaka, vachamura, about everything and kashrut and don't ask what. But a person does not have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of him while doing this. A person's a robot. This is an exilic experience. This is exile. This is a galut type of avodat Hashem. Well, you're not there. You're not there. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not there. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not there for this avodat Hashem. So we call in Hebrew, it's a hatzaga. It's a show. Hatzaga. It's a show. That's all. Has no value. Has no spiritual value. Our great Rebbe Rabbi Lichtenstein Zichron LeBracha wrote a sensational article many years ago. It was a speech, but he wrote it up as an article. Religiosity versus spirituality. It was just so on the money. Where religiosity is what he defines it, we call it Yiddish, Frumkeit. Spirituality is something else. And he says quite correctly, you can have somebody who's religious and spiritual. You can have somebody who's religious and not spiritual. You can have a person who's not religious and spiritual. And you can have a person not religious and not spiritual either. All four exist. They exist. So with regard to the last one, that's really a sad case. No spirituality, no religiosity. But what is better? What's a preferred option? Religiosity without spirituality or spirituality without religiosity? It's not a simple answer, by the way. And it wasn't to Rav Lichtenstein. The fact that it wasn't a simple answer indicates that there was a case to be made that a person who's completely not frum, as we say, not religious, might not observant, might be on a higher pedestal between him and a Kadosh Baruch Hu because he's a spiritual being than a person who observes everything but is spiritually dead. And there are such people out there. We know that. And Rav Aaron, I don't remember if he brought it to a conclusion, but in his way, in his gave us to think that this is an issue. This is a really serious issue. Without spirituality, where's the religiosity there? Or, as the Rebbe put it, more halachic jargon, the person may have had the Maisa mitzvah, missing the Kiyama mitzvah. It's very sad. And we know that for certain mitzvot, not all, but for certain mitzvot, without the Kiyama mitzvah, you basically have nothing. And a great example is Tkiyat Shofar. Rambam says, Afa pishet Tkiyat Shofar gzerat ha-katuv, remez yesh bo, kolomar u yishenim mishnatrem. The guy blows shofar, bring all the tkiyot, they're all 100% kosher according to every chumra in the book, except that he has no intention to wake his neshama up to be a different person tomorrow than he was yesterday. And we know that if you just take a look at our own post Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur experiences, how many people are fundamentally different the day after Yom Kippur than they were the day before Rosh Hashanah? How many are just not, you know, going back to normal. I mean, you know, the comedians have already asked, why on Ma'ariv after Nila, it's a weekday Ma'ariv, we begin, I mean, by God, Mela say it every night for Ma'ariv, I can understand. But Motzi Yom Kippur, the slate is clean. At least once a year, to dispense with, what's there? What do you want from Kadosh Baruch Hu to do? There's nothing there. The file is clean. So the answer is, you ever see the way people daven Ma'ariv Motzi Yom Kippur? That's the first Aveira. Didn't take long.
This
Rav Amital said, with regard to the Minhag HaGerurah, very appropriate for Slichot. In most Nusach Ashkenaz and Nusach Poilin, Nusach Lita, you have three times the Shamnu Begadnu in the Slichot. So the Gros says we should only say it once. One the Shamnu. That's Minhag HaGerurah. A lot of people in this neighborhood, by the way, Shari Chesed, Bechavim, spreads, you know, like not saying Vishamru, all kinds of Minhag HaGerurah have made it in this locale. So Rav Amital once says it's bad enough, you say, Tafalnu Sheker once on the Ashamnu. Three times you have to say Sheker. I mean, how many times are you going to say Ashamnu and you don't believe it? It's bad enough you said it once. Why do we have to say it three times? You could be guilty of Sheker two more times. So, alright. So here you have an experience of Erev Rosh Hashanah. Am Yisrael leads up to a moment of Simcha. And a moment of Simcha is a moment of connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we'll see in a minute, it's not an accident that Chag HaSukkot is called Zman Simchateinu, and that can only happen after the Yom Kippur experience. And the Mishnah said, Lo Ayu Yomim Tovim LeYisrael, source number 5, Ki Chamisha Asar Be'av Uki Yom HaKippurim. So Yom Kippur is the day that is the climactic moment of meeting up with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lifnei Hashem Titaru. It begins after Tisha B'Av. The process of having been on the lowest realm of distance from Am Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Churban. It's Churban HaBayit. It's Tisha B'Av. When is Tu B'Av? Days after Tisha B'Av. It's usually before Shabbat Nachmu, by the way. Not always, but usually. Like this year it was. It was Friday before Shabbat Nachmu. And the idea is that the post-Tisha B'Av experience is Tu B'Av, and that will begin the process that will lead us to the seventh Haftarah, that will lead us into the Yamim Noraim, to the moment of Yom Kippur. And that's why the Bnei Yisrael said, it's a fine time to wish each other Ketiva Chetima Tova already on Tu B'Av. Because the process is now has begun. And if you look at source number 6, Yom Kippur is not only Yom Slicha Mechila, but it's also the day that Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Luchot, which means it's also the end game that began on Chag HaShavuot. Chag HaShavuot is Man Matan Torateinu, and there were 40 days, and then at Shivasa B'Tammuz, Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchot, and then he goes up the next day for another 40 days of Tefillah, and then 40 days of Take two, let's do it again. The month of Elul and Aseret Meitshuvah. And you have the third set of 40 days, which ends with the giving of the Luchot on the second Luchot on Yom Kippur. Which means Yom Kippur completes the process that began on Chag HaShavuot. Chag HaShavuot is Man Matan Torateinu. In the town of Rzeszów, those who have been to Poland, remember this, the town of Rzeszów, which the Jews called Reisha. So they had a Rav there before the war. There were two Rabbanim, a son, and before him his father. And many of you know the grandson of the last Rav of Reisha. He's a famous lawyer from Washington, D.C., Nat Lewin. Right? So he's named after the great-grandfather, Rav Natan Nata Levine. And his son was the Rav of Reisha. When Rav Natan Nata Levine, the great-grandfather of the lawyer Nat Lewin, became installed, or whatever you call it, Achtara, of his position as Rav in Reisha, it was Chag HaShavuot, and he delivered a drasha. And this drasha was printed up by his great-grandson, the lawyer Nat Lewin, when he gave a speech once in Silver Spring, Maryland, where he lives. And it was based on these psukim from Parshat Re'eh about Chag HaShavuot. And it says, Shiva Shavuot is source number 6. Shiva Shavuot is porlach, me'achel chamesh bakama tachel lispor Shiva Shavuot. V'asita Chag HaShavuot L'Hashem Elokecha Misat Nidvat Yadcha Asher Titein Kasher Berachcha Hashem Elokecha V'samachta Lefnei Hashem Elokecha, and so on. The next pasuk you bet V'zacharta Ki Ever Yita V'Mitzrayim V'shamarta V'asita Tachukim Eile. And afterwards Chag HaSukkot, and there it says V'samachta B'Chagecha V'hayita Ach Sameach, in the underline. Said Rav Natan Nata Levine Zichron Levracha. Just as we have four expressions of Geula regarding Yitziat Mitzrayim, Ve'hotzeiti, Ve'yitzalti, Ve'ga'alti, Ve'lakachti, it's one of the allusions to four cups of wine on Seder night, there are four Lishonot of Yahadut with regard to Chag HaShavuot. If you had to summarize all of Judaism in four words, somebody wants to know, tell me what Yiddishkeit is in four words, says Rav Levine, these are the four words: V'yasita, V'samachta, V'zacharta, V'shamarta. What are they? Judaism, unlike other religions, is a religion of practice, of doing. Right? One of the things that when Christianity emerged, they did away with all the doings. They, as if to say, accepted from our Torah, what they call the Old Testament, the ethical teachings of Torah. How well they practice it is a different story. And of course, you know, how well have we practiced the ethical sides is also a story. You know, we shouldn't stand up and claim to be Groysa Tzadikim here. But there's no practical mitzvah in Christianity, as you know. But our Torah is based on viasita. It's doing. You have things to do. And do is beficha, bilvavcha la'asoto. That's in this week's parsha of Nitzavim. Sometimes the mitzvah is to recite. Sometimes it's in your heart, which means you have to think. There are mitzvahs that are thought processes. And there's a mitzvah to get up and do with your hands, your feet, whatever. You do. It's ve'asita. The second aspect of Judaism is v'samachta. And v'samachta gets well-defined in the context of Sukkot. That's why v'samachta b'chagecha is given in Sukkot. And that's why it's called Zman Simchateinu. V'samachta means that whatever you do in Avodat Hashem, it should be with a realization that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is before you. As this pasuk says, V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. You, ata, bincha, bitecha, avdecha, amatcha, alevi Hashem b'sharecha, hager, vayatom, v'almana Hashem b'kirbecha. No excuses. Person cannot say, I'm on a lower rung of the social strata. Every single person has a place to stand before Hashem. This is not a Mizrach wall where only Yechidei Sgula stand before Hashem. It doesn't work like that. In different religions, only the clergy on top have the somehow connection to God or whatever deity they're talking about. The average guy in the street is a loss and requires the necessary intervention of the intermediaries, the theological clergy as intermediaries. By us, that's not the case. It's not the case. I mean, Yahadut is functioning, albeit limping, without a Beit HaMikdash. Because it doesn't need, it doesn't require this intervention. It does not require it. We have a concept of Shlichut. Kohen Gadol acts as a Shliach of Klal Yisrael. But if the Kohen Gadol is not there, Judaism marches on and still has vitality. The V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. This is Simcha, standing in front of God for every mitzvah. The third is V'zacharta. Judaism forgets nothing. Yadut, Am Yisrael, we have a remarkable memory. Some people, some individuals have remarkable memories, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the collective memory of Klal Yisrael. We forget nothing. And we take note of everything that happened. We try to act upon these memories. The concept of 7, 6 Schirot, 10 Schirot, there are all kinds of Zachor, Zachor, Zachor. Whenever the Torah says Zachor, take note. These are important junctures in Am Yisrael's history that we ought not forget. The last is V'shamarta, to guard, and that's the flip side of V'asita. V'asita are the mitzvot asay, the do's, and V'shamarta are the don'ts. So if you want to know what is Judaism all about, it's about do's, it's about don'ts, it's about remembering, and it's about standing before God, whatever you're doing. V'samachta. Those are the arba l'shanot of Matan Torah, said Rav Nassan, Natan Natal Levin. And to understand what Simcha is, then you have to just go into the next section of Sukkot, V'samachta b'chagecha, v'ayitav sameach. So the Rambam in source number 7 tells us about Simchat Beit HaShoeva. And if you look at the first line, and even though on all the Yom Tovim there's a mitzvah to be joyous and happy, it went overboard, the simcha. As it says, then he goes in the details, Simchat Beit HaShoeva in Beit HaMikdash, and I jump down to the fourth paragraph, where it says, Halachat Tedvav, where it says, Asimcha Shiyisamach Adam Basiyat HaMitzvah Ubavat HaKel Shetzivah Behen Avodah Gdolahi. Simcha in general, not just for Simchat Beit HaShoeva, is a very important virtue in Avodat Hashem. Kol HaMuneh Atzmo MiSimcha Zu Ra'ui LiParah Mimenu. He's going to be held accountable if he does mitzvot without the measure of Simcha. And this Simcha is the awareness that he's doing it before God. Tachat Asher Lo Avadat Hashem Elokecha B'Simcha V'Tuv Levav. And this is what really is the source of the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel in general, not only for Sukkot, but for Pesach and Shavuot, and it becomes amplified once in 7 years for the mitzvah of Hakel on Chag HaSukkot after Chag HaShemitah, after the year of Shemitah. And that's why the Rambam says in source number 8 that the mitzvah of building Beit HaMikdash, take a look at the address, it says, Hilchot Beit HaBchira, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. The Rambam is going to give two full books of the 14 about Beit HaMikdash activity. Two full books. And each book is going to have its sections of Halacha. And each section is going to have its chapters. Perek, Perek, Perek. Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph means this is his opening number. In every single section of the Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam never gives us any details. Details! Keep reading, you'll get the details. The Rambam gives us a wide-ranging definition of what the mitzvah is. And then you'll see how, when you read the details, how all the details fill up the puzzle, and then you see the whole picture. But he gives us this opening number of what the mitzvah is. So here the Rambam speaks a little bit too much in his introduction. He writes, Mitzvah Taseh, Lasot Bayit Lashem, so far so good. Mitzvah is to build a house dedicated to God. Muchan liyot makrivim bo akorbanot, that will be prepared for sacrificial activity. So far, so good. He hasn't told us what a korban, when a korban. Keep reading. There's going to be plenty of material, two full books. And there'll be daily korbanot, there'll be Rosh Chodesh korban musaf, and there'll be Yom Tov, and there'll be Yom Kippur. There'll be. But as a broad definition, this is pretty good. Mitzvat aseh lasot bayit lashem, muchan liyot makrivim korbanot. What's baffling is the next line. As part of his very definition of what Beit HaMikdash is, he says, V'chogigin elav shalosh pim bashana. And three times a year we will celebrate there. That's Aliyah L'Regel. Excuse me, that's a detail that the Rambam is going to talk about in Hilchot Chagiga. He's going to get to it and give us all the details. That's a detail that three times a year, shalosh pim bashana, yereh kol zechucha. Why does he incorporate that as part of the very definition of Beit HaMikdash? Shenemar gives the pasuk from Parshat Truma, Be'asu li Mikdash. Why? Because the Rambam believed that the very, very purpose of Beit HaMikdash is the union with, or the rendezvous with God. That's what it is. And it's going to happen three times a year. The Torah is going to halachically force you to do it, whether you like it or not. It's going to be a mitzvah. And that's why we're building Beit HaMikdash, to allow frequent visits with God. Now, Kadosh Baruch Hu's Melo Chol Aretz Kvado, he's all over the place. Why do we need an address? That's a general question. Why do we need a Mikdash? Why do we need a Mishkan? Because human beings cannot relate to Kadosh Baruch Hu Melo Chol Aretz Kvado. It helps us if he has an address. And once he has an address, it gives us the ability to focus on a Kadosh Baruch Hu much greater at his abode, Ma'ono, which is the word that's used. And that's what Beit HaMikdash is. And three times a year, we ought to be there. And so on. And Chag HaSukkot on Shemitah, at the end of Shemitah, you have the mitzvah of Hakel. So it's number 9. The Chag HaSukkot, Bivoko Yisrael Leraot. This is the mitzvah of Hakel. Which means this is all a direct result, specifically with Sukkot, that they upgraded the Simcha, and they had Simchat Teta Shoeva, and the mitzvah of Arba Minim. The mitzvah of Arba Minim is basically the mitzvah for one day. Ulkachtem lachem bayom rishon. You shall take Arba Minim one day. But at Beit HaMikdash, it's 7 days. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem Elokechem shivat yamim. So Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai instituted immediately after the destruction of second Beit HaMikdash that we shouldn't let this facet of Arba Minim die out. So let's continue with the lulav and esrog for another 6 days. So we all know that the other 6 days is only rabbinic. It's the Rabbanan, Zecher HaMikdash. But the first day is Doraita. But at Beit HaMikdash, and according to the Rambam, all of Yerushalayim, it's Doraita. Because that's the add-on of Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Lokechem. When you do the lulav and esrog, whether it's in Be'er Sheva, Afula, Tel Aviv, or in Melbourne, Australia, it's the mitzvah of Arba Minim. Fine. But you do it in the framework of Yerushalayim and Mikdash, it's Simcha. It's Usmachtem Lefnei Hashem Elokechem Shivat Yamim. And to that end, that can only happen after the Yom Kippur experience. After Am Yisrael has been so elevated and so reconditioned or reprogrammed that mitzvahs have to be done b'simcha, then the immediate reaction is Chag HaSukkot, Zman Simchateinu, that we're going to do everything b'simcha. And therefore, the purpose of the seven Haftarot, the seven Nechamot, is to give Am Yisrael that ability to accept the words of Nechama, and it takes 7 full weeks to do it. Finally we do it. In this coming Shabbat Nitzavim, Sos Asist Bashem Tagel Nashi Belukai Hilbishani Bigdayesha Umilzaka Yaatani. These are beautiful, beautiful words of consolation, of Am Yisrael telling Kadosh Baruch Hu, alright, we're looking forward already. We are now together. There's a measure of Simcha. And when there's a measure of Simcha, then you can approach a Kadosh Baruch Hu and expect to receive that measure of Kapara. And the Rav said, that is the Simcha, to that Simcha, we say Shechiyanu right after Kol Nidre, the first moment of Yom Kippur, after Kol Nidre, we say the Pasuk, V'nislach l'chol adat b'nei Yisrael, v'lager hagar b'tocham, ki l'chol ha'am b'shgaga, right? And we say, Salachti Kivarecha, Kadosh Baruch Hu has forgiven. And that, a Jew is supposed to explode with joy of being, you just want to give a Kadosh Baruch Hu a hug. And how do you give a Kadosh Baruch Hu a hug? Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shechiyanu, V'kimanu, V'giyanu, L'zman Hazeh. That's how we start Yom Kippur. That's how we start Yom Kippur. And that's the fulfillment of, Ki B'yom Hazeh Yechaper Alechem, L'taher Etchem, Mikol Chatotechem, Lefnei Hashem, to tell. So I want to take the opportunity to wish each and every one of you a Tivach Tema Tova. And next week, Wednesday morning, we will have a shiur. I don't see any reason why not to. It's Tom Gedalia, so I'll try not to bring my cups of water here. But we will do something in the spirit, and then we'll break until the Wednesday after Sukkot. Okay.